I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. When Cokie Roberts was in school, she says she learned a lot about the men we call our founding fathers, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin. But aside from a story about Martha Washington spending a freezing winter at Valley Forge with the American Army during the Revolutionary War, she doesn't remember ever being taught anything about the women who lived at the time the 13 American colonies decided to break from Britain and build a country. So she heeded the advice of Abigail Adams to remember the ladies, and she has done so in a big way. She now has a new book that is for, I'd say, 7 to 12 year olds or a little beyond, even for people who are my age, Founding Mothers, Remembering the Ladies, which looks at the contributions of the women who were really strong and very patriotic and made huge sacrifices during the Revolutionary War. Cokie, of course, a Morning Edition contributor, and she's also a contributor, political commentator for ABC News. She has written, and we talked to her when her book came out that looked at Founding Mothers, published in 2004, a bestseller. She has written many other books, including From This Day Forward, an account of her more than 40-year marriage and other marriages in American history. So we'll learn about the Founding Mothers, this part of our program, and welcome your phone calls. As we talk with Cokie, our phone number here is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And you can also send us an email if you'd like, talk@wpr.org. Hello, Cokie. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, Kathleen, what a treat to be with you. Is it freezing there?
Yes, it is. I'm sorry.
It is the winter that will not end.
It's just
the
awful.
Only thing, we can just be grateful we don't live in the 18th century.
You know, I was thinking about that as I was reading your book and Martha and all the soldiers. Good grief, what did they do when it was so cold?
They were really cold, they really were.
Yeah.
I mean, you could try to light a fire and put on more clothes, but they were really cold.
Oh, yeah, it must have been so hard. Well, as long as we brought up Martha, let's talk a little bit about Martha, who all reports are that she, and where did you read this about her? This woman was a bundle of energy and hard work from the moment she got up until she went to bed.
It's true, and she also... Martha, I think, gets a bad rap because I think part of it is, that silly little hat, the cap that we always see her in, because she just looks so dowdy and demure. And in fact, she was a very, very interesting woman. Of course, when George married her, she was the richest woman in Virginia due to the death of her very rich first husband. And she went every winter to camp. As you said, I knew about Valley Forge, but the truth is the Revolutionary War went on for 8 long years,
yeah.
And she went to camp every winter. She hated going to camp. It was cold, as we just said. It was unpleasant. She felt that she was leaving behind duties at Mount Vernon, but also she was going across terrible roads, you can imagine, and she was prime candidate for hostage taking because the British did take patriot wives hostage and killed some, imprisoned others. And of course, she was the wife of the most prominent patriot. So, it was a very brave thing for her to do. But the general, as she called him, felt strongly that she and the other officers' wives needed to be there because they made such an incredible difference in terms of troop morale.
And they did, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah.
She would sew for the soldiers and cook for the soldiers and nurse the soldiers and pray with the soldiers. And they'd put on great entertainments, dances and plays and such. And I have to tell you, Kathleen, it's a good thing that she was on hand because George, at one point, danced for 3 hours straight with the very pretty and flirty Kitty Green, the wife of Nathaniel Green. So it's good that Martha was on the scene.
It is good. Yeah, that's a great story.
I have to tell you, this isn't in the children's version of the book, but she did have a great sense of humor. She named a tomcat Hamilton.
She did. That's great. She now the letters. How do you get information on her? The letters. Her letters were destroyed. She burned the letters. Hers.
Probably. That's what most historians believe. That because she was seen throwing some things into the fire after George Washington died, and so everyone assumes it was their correspondence. We have a few of her letters and his letters to her, very few. The Mount Vernon has done a terrific job of assembling them and trying to pull them together. We also have letters from other people about her and about her and him. So that, for instance, a visitor would go to camp and would write about her. I actually quote one in the children's book talking about how busy she was morning till night. And that was something she did very intentionally, not only to help the soldiers, but also to convince the townspeople that it was important for them to support the soldiers. You know, the army would set up camp someplace, and it was just like it is today when sailors come into town. You know, the townspeople aren't always all that thrilled about it. And so the women of any particular area where they had set up camp would come to see Lady Washington and to see what she was up to. And what she would always do, because she had a very, very strong PR sense, is that she would wear homespun, even though she was very rich, and she would be engaged in all kinds of activities for the troops and convince the other women that they needed to be doing that as
and
well.
And what a trooper she was, because she goes through all of these hard years of the war, goes back home to Mount Vernon thinking she and George are going to have a good time with the grandkids, and lo and behold, she's got to become the First Lady.
Absolutely. And even before that, during the war, the one other thing I'd like to say about that, because it was very significant, significant in terms of our victory as America, the great scourge of the time was smallpox. And, of course, you lost many more soldiers to disease than you did to weapons. And the smallpox inoculation was incredibly dangerous and painful. But if you survived it, and that was a big if, but if you survived it, you were unlikely to get smallpox. And Washington was trying to get his soldiers to submit to the inoculation. And much to his amazement, and without telling him, she went to Philadelphia after the first winter in Cambridge and was inoculated against smallpox. So he was able to say, well, look, the girl did it, you know, and so the soldiers then were vaccinated. And as a result, the American army was much less plagued by disease and smallpox, particularly, than the British or the Hessians. So it was a tremendous contribution.
I remember Abigail Adams did the same.
She did.
Remember the ladies. Please tell. I love Abigail Adams.
She is a fascinating character, right?
So that phrase, which I love, how did it come about? When did she write it? To whom did she write it?
Well, of course, she wrote it to her husband, John. John Adams was off in, well, first, even before all of the tumult with the British, he was trying to build up a law practice and traveling a lot. And then he went off to the Continental Congress in Philadelphia. And there she was back in Braintree, Massachusetts, with the British. I mean, Lexington and Concord happened in 1775, remember? And the Declaration of Independence wasn't until 1776. And the British were around all this time. And she was writing to John in Philadelphia saying, for heaven's sakes, declare independence. What's wrong with you men? What? Get with it. You know, the British are awful. Get with the program. And the men were, of course, much more hesitant and worried about what it would mean for them. And so finally it appeared that that independence would be declared. And as it was getting to that point, she wrote to John and said, I suppose that you will have to form a new code of laws for whatever kind of country you're creating. And when you do, remember the ladies, because all men would be tyrants if they could. Now, she was probably talking, Kathleen, about legal rights, because married women could not own property. They could not even own the clothes on their bodies.
Goodness.
They were the property of their husbands. Maybe she was talking about political rights, but in any case, what John uncharacteristically did was laugh at her and write one of those put down letters of, oh, you women really have all the real power. So he ignored her on that one, which was unusual because he didn't usually ignore her.
Cokie Roberts, I love the fact that Cokie is so interested in history and has obviously studied it so thoroughly, because I think it makes such a difference for being a fine journalist, which she is. She has, I didn't in the intro, because she's had such a distinguished career. She's won all kinds of awards, lots of Emmy Awards, and she's won, well, let me find her bio here, because I should say this about her, too. She has been designated as a living legend. How about that? A living legend by the Library of Congress. Her book, her latest book, is Founding Mothers, Remembering the Ladies, and it is for young people. I would say, you know, probably a precocious six-year-old would be fine, or maybe even younger than that, but it's for all of us, too. She highlights some of our founding women, and some of the stories are people who were well-known. Others, a slave who was a marvelous poet. We'll get to her story and others momentarily. Cokie Roberts is our guest this hour, and we'll be welcoming phone calls for her on air, 800-486-8655. And as we enter our pledge time here, I do want to tell you that this book, Founding Mothers, Remembering the Ladies, will be yours if you pledge $120 or more. So it's about $10 a month, and it's just for this hour. I'm Kathleen Dunn with John Munson. Listeners do provide the single largest piece of our budget, and it's why your gift is so important. Your pledge of any amount will automatically enter you for a drawing in an iPad Air. So make your gift right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Hello, John.
Well, hello, Kathleen. Well, you know what? Last hour, we did pretty well.
We came very, very close.
Missed it by that much.
Right.
37 pledges last hour. Thank you so much. Our goal this hour to get another 40. And we'd like to pick up those three we left on the table last hour. So let's make it 43.
All right.
Help us meet this goal by making your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Programs like the one you're listening to right now, programs you enjoy, will be here every day on Wisconsin Public Radio, thanks to your support.
You know, you get headlines and you can get sound bites in other places, but where do you go for an in-depth discussion with Cokie Roberts about the founding mothers? I mean, this is fun. This is interesting.
I assume that's a rhetorical question.
It is, John.
Okay. Well, it's the answer.
You come here.
The answer to that rhetorical question is the Ideas Network, of course. Here you don't just get a 20-second clip or a few minutes of back and forth. You get plenty of time to develop ideas and ask questions. WPR is a great source of in-depth information. Your support right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is what makes it possible.
And as an added incentive, I did tell you, but let me tell you again, that the book, The Founding Mothers, Remembering the Ladies, it's yours when you give $120 or more, $10 a month. We love talking about books on this show, and this one would make even a perfect present for what's coming up. St. Patrick's Day? Is that the next holiday?
Yeah.
That's my next holiday, St. Patrick's Day.
Your big holiday. Come on, let's face it.
Or birthday present, or your neighbor, or your daughter, or your granddaughter. Ask for it now when you make your pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Public Radio does a service. It's not just the regular state, local, and federal news. It encompasses your life. To make an informed decision, you have to have the two views. You can't have two views if someone's shouting at you that this is the way you should think. I like to be able to make up my own mind. For me, it has always been a friend.
Rather than waiting for a pledge, because if there's not a pledge time on the radio, it kind of falls to the back of your mind. But it just got to a point where I said, you know what? Rather than sending in a big thing right away, why don't we just do it so much a month? It's just easier, and I don't worry about it. And at the end of the year, I get a statement from my credit card, and I know how much we donated. It was just easier to do it as a sustaining member. I'm Larry.
I'm Ellie.
And we're from Madison, Wisconsin.
And please join us as sustaining members of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Pledge at WPR.org, 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with John Munson. We are asking for your support of WPR during our winter membership drive. If your gift is $10 or $20 a month, thank you. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount for you. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You know, when you think about it.
Whoops, get your mic on.
When you think about it, WPR is your radio station. You spend an awful lot of time with us. You wake up to us in the morning. We ride with you on your commute. We keep you company during the day.
And the beauty of public radio is that you get to decide how much to pay for those programs that keep you company all day long. Many first-time donors give $5 a month.
And your gift, combined with donations from thousands of other listeners just like you, add up to WPR's single largest source of funding. So, become our next new member right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Did you know, a lot of people are surprised by this, but a large slice of our budget, actually the biggest slice, is listener-supported. So while all of our funding sources, the state, federal governments, businesses are important, it is your contribution that makes a huge difference. WPR is the amazing service that it is thanks to listener support. Give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And we've made it about as easy as we can make it. All it takes is a few minutes of your time, a gift of any amount, say $10 a month.
And the donation will come back to you every day in the form of great programs. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Give as generously as you can.
Well, let's talk about a $10 a month contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. That's a little over 30 cents a day. Now, think about it. What do you spend 30 cents a day on? Probably can't think of something that's only 30 cents. You spend a lot more than that every day on things that you value less than WPR.
Dog biscuits? 30 cents a day?
I don't have a dog.
Well, you should.
We'll talk later.
Okay. Spend a little right now. You'll get a lot in return. Remember that we're delighted to have Cokie Roberts with us this hour. In her book, it's for children, but it's for all ages, too. Founding Mothers, Remembering the Ladies, for your pledge of $120. And you'll remember this hour and the good that you did, and you'll bring history alive. And, you know, it doesn't get better than that. So make your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Where are we, John?
Well, we're in Milwaukee.
Last time we checked.
Oh, I see. We need 27.
Okay.
27 pledges is what we need in the next half an hour or so. Help us out right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And remember, as an added bonus for your pledge of any amount today, you'll be entered in a drawing for an iPad Air. And sustainers, don't worry. We got your back, you're automatically entered.
And please ask for the book Founding Mothers, Remembering the Ladies, with your pledge of $120 or more, $10 a month, WPR.org. That's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you, John.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, we'll be back with Cokie and talk more. Well, we have to talk about this young woman who was a slave who became a phenomenal poet. And Deborah Reed Franklin, Ben left her for years at a time, and others. Cokie Roberts continues with us in a moment on the Ideas Network. Cokie Roberts is with us now, and we're discussing her latest book, which is Founding Mothers, Remembering the Ladies. And it's wonderful stories, and we should also say the illustrations are absolutely gorgeous. Here's a woman I didn't know anything about, Cokie, Phyllis Wheatley, the woman who was raised as a slave, the phenomenal poet.
You know, it's interesting, Kathleen. The children, I've now talked to lots of school groups, which is really fun.
Oh, I bet.
But It is. It's wonderful. They know more about Phyllis Wheatley than pretty much anybody else. Huh. And that tells you that the schools are doing a good job. By the way, you were asking what's the next holiday up. It's Women's History Month March. So,
okay.
And for those of us from Louisiana, Mardi Gras is next Tuesday.
Okay,
always,
thank you,
always worth doing something. But, but Phyllis Wheatley is a fascinating story. She was a little girl. She was probably 7 or 8 years old. And the way they know her age was that she still had baby teeth. And she arrived in Boston around 1760. And that's something that a lot of people don't realize, is that the horrible sin of slavery was legal in all of the colonies. And so there were slaves everywhere, not just in the South in the period before the Revolution. And she arrived as a little girl, went to help out in a household, the Wheatley household. And the family soon realized that she was a very smart little girl. And the teenagers taught her to read and write and taught her English and the Bible. And quickly she was learning Greek and Latin.
Oh.
And by the time she was a teenager, she was publishing poems in the local newspapers. And she wanted to publish a book of her poetry, but nobody would believe that this teenage slave girl had written the poems. So the fancy men of Boston wrote letters giving, endorsing her, saying that she was, in fact, the author of the poems. And they sent off her poems and their letters to London, where her poetry was published, and she became an instant celebrity on both sides of the Atlantic. Mm. She was very, very well known. And when George Washington went to camp the first time, it was in Cambridge. In fact, the troops stayed in Harvard dorms. And he asked to see her. Everybody else came trooping to see him. But he asked to see her because he wanted to meet someone who was so gifted by the muse. So she was really someone very, very well known at the time. And I'm happy to say she is apparently being taught in many of our schools now.
I'm glad to hear
that. I tell you something, you know, Kathleen, that I was thinking as you all were doing the
pledge drive,
is these women were so devoted to duty. They really understood that they had a duty to work for the cause of independence and of a new country. And at one point, Abigail Adams actually wrote to John and said, you know, we women are really better patriots than you men because we are suffering all of the hardships and making all of the sacrifices for the cause. She said, patriotism in the female breast is the least self-interested of virtues. Hmm. And she said, and then if we win, you men are the people who are going to be held in high acclaim. You'll hold office, and we won't even be able to vote.
Right.
So we're better patriots than you are. And I was thinking about that sense of duty that they had, as you were saying, that people should give money to WPR. And it's true. It really is your duty. If you're listening, it's your duty to give money. Otherwise, it's kind of like stealing.
Oh, Cokie, thanks for that. I guess I better give the number, huh? So I
it's
will.
It's 888-202-2552.
Oh, you are a
I
smart
wrote it down.
One. You are smart. That's good. Thank you, Cokie. That's great. 888-202-2552. And remember to remember the ladies, huh? Remember what she told you. It's amazing to me, and this is true of so many of these women in your book, when you talk about the hardship, these women... I mean, Ben Franklin, what the heck was he thinking?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's
he
really
he never
hard
came
to
home.
Like. It's very,
I know.
Very hard to like Ben Franklin once you get to know him well.
Yeah.
He was off. One of the things that you often, at least I did learn in school as a kid, is Benjamin Franklin, first Postmaster General of the United States.
Right.
Except he wasn't in the United States. He was in England. Mm-hmm. And he was in England for... a dozen years.
Goodness.
He was the lobbyist for the colony of Pennsylvania, and he's off in London having a wonderful time, and He left his wife, Deborah, to run the Postal Service, which she did a terrific job of. And at one point, Lord Loudon, the British nobleman who was the titular head of the service, tried to fire one of her workers, and she had a fit and told him not only was he not firing a worker, but that he was also slowing up the service that she had paid dearly to make sure it ran very well, and that she thought that he was treating her most impolitely. And I have to tell you, the illustrations by Diane Good, who's a Caldecott Medal yes. winner, in this book are so fabulous.
They're accurate
and they're historically interesting, but they're so whimsical and funny. And one of my favorites is of Deborah Reed Franklin holding Lord Loudon, a little teeny weeny Lord Loudon, in the palm of her hand as she is telling him off. And she was just terrific. But also on that page, another fabulous illustration is one that shows what happened when Ben Franklin's neighbors felt that he
yes.
had not sufficiently opposed the Stamp Act,
right.
the hated Stamp Act. And there he was in London, supposed to be representing them, and they thought that he had not done a good enough job convincing the British that the Stamp Act was a terrible, terrible thing. And they were so furious that they were prepared to burn down his house. And she was advised to leave the house, escape, and save herself. And she said, I'm not doing that. And she got a gun, and she got a couple of relatives with guns, and she protected the house. And her words that she wrote to Ben are there in the illustration. They're wonderfully done, where she says, I had not given offense to any person at all, but if anyone come to disturb me, I would show them proper resentment. And the illustration, all these people are running on the top of her gun barrel away. And Ben was very pleased that she had saved the house. He wrote to her and said, well done, Deborah. You know, carry on.
Carry on.
But she never, all she wanted him to do was come home.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't come home.
And there's a sadness because she died and he hadn't even seen her. She was sick. And I think she implored him to come home, didn't
she? She did. She begged him to come home. Their only daughter got married. And he said, keep the wedding cheap, but he still wouldn't come home.
Ben.
And finally, she died. And he wrote to one of his friends and said that he had to go home because my wife, in whose hands I left the care of my affairs, has died.
Mm.
So he valued her, but he didn't value her enough to hang out with her. Now, I will admit that when he came home, he then authored, along with John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, the Declaration of Independence. And then he went to France, where he had a really wonderful time. And while he was there, he certainly helped make the alliance that won the war. So he had his good points, but they were not having to do with his relations with his wife and daughter.
Cokie Roberts, our guest, and we'll continue with her for a few more minutes in a moment. Her latest book is Founding Mothers, Remembering the Ladies. We were happy to interview Cokie when the book came out, which was for adults, number one New York Times bestseller. She's also author of a number of other books. This one looks at the ladies. She remembers the ladies, the important patriots, female patriots of the American Revolution. If you want to join us, I know we have a lot going on this hour, but you can. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. And if you love American history, as you know we do, you would like this book as an addition to your library. We're in a pledge drive as well. So for a $120 pledge, we will be happy to send you a copy of Cokie Roberts' book, Founding Mothers. How do you pledge? Here's how you pledge. She even wrote down the phone number. She knows she's at the top of her game, isn't she? Cookie always is. 888-202-2552. 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn. John Munson is with me, and we are here to ask you to support the programs that you enjoy. Your support makes high-quality, commercial-free programs on WPR possible. And also, when you pledge today, we got a lot going on, you'll be entered in a drawing for an iPad Air. It's a great time to support all of our programs, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And the magic number, Kathleen, is 17.
All right.
That's the number
16,
of
sir.
16 now.
There
okay.
we go.
16 in the next 13 minutes, 23 minutes or so, somewhere in there, between now and 3 o'clock. Thank you so much if you've already given. And if you haven't, let's stay on track. Help us out by making your contribution right now, won't you? WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
The chances are great that this network has covered an issue that is close to you. It may be healthcare, interpersonal relationships, history, the environment, literature. We bring you shows, and you know, it's every day. We bring these to you day after day after day. They're relevant, interesting, and enjoyable. WPR touches your life. Make a pledge, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Well, and here's one of the cool things about this. You decide the amount of your pledge. Yes, you. Every pledge is appreciated. Every pledge helps pay for the programs you love on Wisconsin Public Radio. And it isn't just you. It's the thousands of other people who make pledges. We throw them all together, and it makes Wisconsin Public Radio. Ask for the book, Founding Mothers, Remembering the Ladies, as your thank you gift when you contribute $120 or more. That's just 10 bucks a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Karen Reinhart from Fort Atkinson. I've been listening to Wisconsin Public Radio for nearly 25 years now, and it is really my source of news, of issues and topics of the day. It has meant everything to me, so much so that when I leave Wisconsin to visit my family on the East Coast, I go through withdrawals. I'm so happy to have Wisconsin Public Radio in my life.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during our winter membership drive. Your gift of $10 or $15 a month, whatever amount you choose, $120, and we'll send you the book. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Chances are you have a strong sense of what it means to be a Wisconsinite. And chances are that Wisconsin Public Radio plays an important role in that sense of identity. We serve the entire state.
On Wisconsin Public Radio, you get news, voices, music, sounds from around the state. And over time, all of these broadcasts add up, and this is a lovely thing, to a strong sense of connection to the state that we call home.
Well, Wisconsin Public Radio, it's a home we all share, and it's funded in large part by listeners. So please give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And just a reminder, you don't have to pledge to participate. You could be the winner of this iPad Air, and everybody who pledges will be entered. You can send a postcard, your name, your address, phone number, email, WPR iPad Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, 53706. Enter by sending a postcard or making a pledge right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Hey, Kathleen, we're looking for 15 more pledges.
All right, we can get there.
In the next 19 or so minutes. So help us out now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And remember, as an added bonus for your pledge of any amount today, you'll be entered in that iPad Air drawing. And sustainers, don't worry, you are automatically entered.
And we've also got the book, Founding Mothers, Cokie Roberts, Remembering the Ladies, with your pledge of $120 or more, $10 a month. So please, pledge now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Thanks, John, so much. Cokie Roberts is our guest, and we're talking about her book and welcoming on-air phone calls, too, if you want to join our on-air conversation. I don't want to neglect you, 800-486-8655. Five is our number. Cookie, I want to talk just a little bit about history because I know that it's very important to you. And I would imagine that it has played a significant role in your distinguished career as a broadcaster. It's good to know history if you're a broadcaster.
It's good to know history, period.
Right.
You know, you understand what's happening in the world around you much better if you understand the history.
Right.
We discover that when we're learning about other countries. Just recently, I'm sure a whole lot of people have read up on Ukraine.
Yes.
And what was the problem in Ukraine? And the history was terribly important in understanding what's been going on there. Well, we need to know that kind of history about our own country as well, even more so, of course. And for someone who covers Congress and politics, it's absolutely essential to know our history. And that's how I got into writing these very difficult books. I mean, the children's book is the easiest version of it that I've done. But to find the information and pull together the stories of these women in colonial and revolutionary and early republic times is not easy. And I did it because I felt so strongly that I needed to know what the men were doing in this unique period in our history when our charters were getting written that really define our nationhood. And I have to go back all the time and read what the founders were saying about things like the right to bear arms or the place of religion in the public square, things that have come up all the time in modern politics. Just right now, there's a fight going on in Arizona about whether freedom of religion allows people to deny service to homosexuals. Now, I think that the courts would be pretty clear that it does not. But those are the kinds of issues that were debated in this period that I need to know what the founders actually did say as opposed to what the politicians think the founders said.
Yeah.
And so I got so well acquainted with the men that I found that I needed to know what the other half of the human race was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was also very, very important for our children to know what women were doing in this period of time and understand what incredible contributions they made to the creation of our country. So I think that learning the history is, first of all, just fun. It's fascinating. History textbooks somehow manage to make it boring, which is just a crime.
Right.
History is gossip. And the idea that you wring all the juice out of it is absurd. But so it's fun. I love learning it. But it's also very, very useful.
Do you ever think about how things may have been different, what the founding fathers may have overlooked simply because they were men, and the shape of the country perhaps having been different if someone like Abigail Adams had been involved in helping to fashion the country?
Well, I think that in Abigail Adams' case, she would have been an ardent arguer for abolition very early. She felt strongly at various times that that we were losing battles in the Revolution because of the sin of slavery, as she put it. So I think that there are things like that that would have happened. I think these women would have been amazed that we are now in the year 2014 and there has not been a woman president. They would have been flabbergasted that we had reached the year 1920 before women had the right to vote. They were very, very political beings. And even though they weren't agitating for women's political rights, they were very well aware of the lack of them and talked about it.
Tell me about a spy before we go to a phone call. I love the spy stories.
Well, the children especially love the spy stories. Of course, I joke that spying is women's work because for obvious reasons, right? We like it. But there were many female spies during the Revolution. And one is a woman named Lydia Darrah, the British were occupying Philadelphia, and they occupied her house. The commander occupied her house. And she said, well, okay, I can't keep you from occupying my house, but I don't have any place to go. Can I stay here too? And they said, okay. So she eavesdropped on all of their conversations. And then she wrote them up in code and sewed them behind the buttons of her little boy's coat.
Oh, what a story.
And then she sent him out out to the camp to where his brother was in the army. And then the army would have the advantage of reading the code and knowing what the British were planning. And there were all kinds of women messengers that rode through the night with their hair streaming behind them. I'm so thrilled that the illustrator actually has an illustration of that, because that's always been my mental image of these women, you know, going through the night on horseback. But they did. And one of them, Emily Geiger, was stopped by the British and searched, but she was a woman, and they actually couldn't search her thoroughly. So they called in a woman to search her. It's kind of like TSA now.
Right,
And while she was waiting for the woman to arrive, she read the message that she was carrying to General Greene, memorized it, and then swallowed it. And so by the time the searcher got there, the message was gone, and she had to be let go. And she then, despite the danger and knowing what incredible danger she was in, took off and found General Greene and delivered the message orally.
What a story. What a story. Joe is calling in.
But there are
from
lots like that.
Yeah. La Crosse. Hi, Joe.
Hi. Martha and Abigail stand out in this male-dominated society of the area. I'm curious, what was their upbringing like? Who were their fathers, and what was their opinion about the whole situation of women speaking out?
Well, Martha's father I know really nothing about. Abigail's father was a preacher. Her last name was Smith. And she grew up in Weymouth, Massachusetts, and he had many students in his parlor. And so she was educated. She and her two sisters, who were all three of them were very interesting women. Their letters are quite something. But they were educated by her father and by his students. So they really had the same education as boys would have had up until college age. And then, of course, all the men went to Harvard in Boston, and, of course, the women couldn't. So she had a much better education than a lot of women of the time. She had a classical education. She could read and write French. I suspect her accent was probably something not to hear. But her father very strongly felt that she should be an educated woman. He was gone by the time she was writing all of this. You know, a lot of people didn't live that long.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your call.
But I'll tell you, one of the most fascinating father-daughter stories is really the oldest woman in the book, Eliza Lucas Pinckney. And she was probably born in the early 18th century, came to America probably in about 1727, and her father was a British nobleman who was fighting, or he was a British military man, and they were living on the island of Antigua. She had been educated in British schools. He came to South Carolina and bought three plantations, and then went back to Antigua to fight the Spanish, and left her in charge of three plantations at the age of 16.
Wow.
I mean, think of it. You know, we don't like to give our car keys to 16-year-olds.
Right.
And she, because she was in charge of those plantations, she had to keep records. So we do have her writing. And she wrote to her father regularly, and they he completely counted on her to run his finances. And she, because they had been in Antigua and had seen indigo grown, she tried to introduce the planting of indigo into the American colonies because it was the dye used in all the military uniforms in Europe. And she tried and failed and tried and failed, and she had a subversive overseer on one of the plantations who was doing her in, and all of the planters in the low country of South Carolina were laughing at her. What is this girl doing? And then she succeeded. And indigo was by far the biggest cash crop in the colonies before the Revolution, and one historian of the time wrote that it was more important to America than all the gold of Mexico was to Mexico. So that was this girl, and she did it with her father's not only approval and blessing, but encouragement, because he needed her to do it.
Right. Just a kid she was. Cokie, thank you so much. As long as you have been generous enough to tell people why they have a duty to pledge, would you like to do that once again before
Absolutely.
We say goodbye?
You know, okay. First of all, I am a donor to not only my public radio station in Washington, but to several that I listen to on my iPhone as I travel
Great.
Around the country.
Great.
And I think that YPR at 888-202-2552 is the place to give money. It's so little money, and it's so important. Without the public, there is no public radio.
Right. Thank you so much, Cokie. You're just delightful, and thanks for
all the
history. So nice
to be
history.
With you, Kathleen.
Enjoyed it immensely. Cokie Roberts, and also Founding Mothers Remembering the Ladies, her latest book, which is for young readers, for a pledge of $120, we'll send it to you. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Kathleen Dunn with John Munson, and this is our Winter Pledge Drive. Listeners provide the single largest piece of our budget. To encourage your gift today, again, Cokie Roberts' book for a $120 pledge, or also your pledge of any amount, enters you into a drawing for an iPad. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
We need 8 more pledges in the next 5 minutes or so. We can do that.
Yeah,
your pledge right now helps pay for programs you count on and enjoy, like the one you've been listening to this hour, all year long.
Right.
Thank you so much. If you're one of the thousands of people who've already given. And if you aren't in that number, well, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've been enjoying the conversation, I'm sure, with Cokie Roberts on Founding Mothers Remembering the Ladies. We do a lot of history shows. We do a lot of presidential shows. We've had a whole, I mean, it's like we've gone to school and learned about all of these people. They're interesting, important, substantial, kind of quirky. They're good. So please, take a few minutes to express your appreciation.
Well, you know, we're talking about hours and hours and hours and hours of programming. We're asking you to take just a few minutes to make this hour and so many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you and then make that pledge. WPR.org. 888-202-2552.
Remember, the minutes are getting short for you to get the book, Founding Mothers Remembering the Ladies, when you make a contribution of $120. That's $10 a month. Your donation supports all of the programs that you count on. You can get this really nice thank you gift, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, I listen a lot, definitely more than I listen to any other radio station. You know, I listen to the pledge drives every year. I just thought, why not sign up to be a sustaining member, and that way I don't have to make the one big pledge every year. It just feels good. Sometimes in the past I might feel a little bit of guilt. I know that the station is sustained by donations primarily, and that the members are really important. I listen every day and I think, boy, I really should be sustaining this and helping out. It feels good to listen now and know that my contributions are helping to keep the station on the air. I'm John from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
Make your donation in support of all of the programs you count on, WPR.org, 888-202-2552. $5 a month, $100 a month, $120 for Cokie Roberts' book. We appreciate and we count on your gift.
You know, everybody's got a story about how they first became a WPR listener. Maybe you discovered us by accident and then just never changed the station again.
That'll happen. Now may be the time to create the story about how you first became a WPR donor. And it may start out like this. I was listening to WPR as usual today when I realized, ta-da, it was time to donate. Finish the story with your first ever donation, $5 a month, perhaps at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So why, you ask, should you give at this moment? Well, you're listening right now, and you're thinking about it right now.
It's the right thing to do, and you'll feel good about it when you do it. WPR is an important public service. You'll be making an investment in quality music, entertainment, news, and talk.
Well, Richard and Jane from Pecatonica, Illinois, say Kathleen Dunn is a treasure.
Aww.
And because of that, we use these treasures wisely. Your treasure is the one you send us and the ones we have on the air. We use those donations wisely, putting them into the programs that you hear every day. Support this station you value right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And Karen from Delafield, I always like to support WPR as I get something out of it every single day. That's a big thing to say, every single day. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. John, we're almost there. We need five. No, we need six. Six calls?
Six, yeah.
Okay.
Six
calls in the next couple minutes, and I believe we can do this.
We can do it.
I believe we can. Remember Cokie Roberts' book, Founding Mothers, Remembering the Ladies, for young people, important history book, and a fun history book as well, beautifully illustrated. And remember that we do this every day, you know, or this is a pledge drive, which is very important to us, but it keeps all the programs going day after day after
Amen.
Day after day, right? John, thank you so much. Thanks very much to Judith Sears-Poisson for producing the show, to K.P. Whaley for production here in our studios in Milwaukee, and to Katie Madsen for her help as well. And thanks, everybody, for pledging and listening and caring.